Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Thank the Lord, the song said, for everything, the good things and the bad things. Amen? And it's true, if you're like, if you're normal, like all of us, we don't like to thank the Lord for the bad things. We like to thank Him for the good things. But you know what? We need to begin to learn to thank Him for the not so pleasant things that happen to us. Because sometimes those are the ones that strengthen our characters, give us patience, help us to have more faith in the Lord. And we need to thank Him for that also. Now, some of you might be looking at the title and say, what's that all about? Well, here's the thing. A lot of things are happening here at Valley View, and I praise the Lord for that. And I know that we have been, as a matter of fact, I thank all the family members that are here this morning, visiting family members that you have chosen to come and worship here at Valley View. And I thank all those that have been attending here. I've seen you maybe two or three or four times even. I think it's about time that you pick up one of those little cards in front of you and just transfer your membership here. You're already part of the family, so why don't you do it? And so a lot of things are happening. 29 people took that seminar for Bible studies, how to give Bible studies. And we're going to have a sort of like a small army, which all of you are welcome to join in. Because we're getting ready. Next year, there's going to be a valley-wide evangelistic series. All five churches are going to come together. Brian McMahon is going to be here in the fall of 2010. And what's going to be happening is we're going to be getting a lot of new members, hopefully, Lord willing. And so things are going to be happening. Things are happening. And we all want to be part of that. Amen. If you are thankful that you are alive this morning, say amen. Amen. If you are thankful that the Lord has redeemed you, say amen. Amen. If you are thankful that not only He has redeemed you, but He's coming back for you, say amen. Amen. That's our hope. Jesus is coming back for us. So it's good that we're all here together to worship together. Let's have a word of prayer before we continue. Father, thank You for the Sabbath. Thank You for being with us. I pray that as we share, that the Holy Spirit may open our hearts and our minds to understand. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tiny Melissa, very fragile, was in her room. She was scared because in the other room, the bedroom, she's hearing Mom and Dad just screaming at each other. They're fighting. And she doesn't like when Mommy and Daddy quarrel or fight. And so she's frightened. And then her father begins to yell at the top of his lungs. And she's really scared. So she runs to the door. She climbs out of her little bed, runs to Mommy's door and kind of opens it and says, Daddy, please, please don't yell at Mommy like that. And the father gets enraged at her, looks at her and says, you get back to your room and shut up. And this startles up this little tiny Melissa. And then she replies in a simple little child's way. She says, no, I don't like you when you're mean. Go away. At that point, something snaps with the father. He goes and gets a big belt, wraps it around his hand, and starts toward little Melissa. And in just a few moments, she has become another child statistic. 1993. 2.8 million cases were reported in the U.S. of child abuse. In 2003, that had gone up to 3.6 or 7. And the latest report, 2007, approximately 5.8 million children were involved in an estimated 3.2 million child abuse reports and allegations. Almost 5 children die every day as a result of child abuse. More than 3 out of 4 are under the age of 4. Estimated that 60 to 85% of child fatalities due to maltreatment are not recorded as such in the death certificates. A report of child abuse is made every 10 seconds. 90% of child sexual abuse victims know the perpetrator in some way. 68% are abused by family members. Child abuse occurs at every socioeconomic level, across ethnic and cultural lines, within all religions, and at all levels of education. I could go on and on and on, but it's too sad. I don't know about you, but you know, when someone is taking advantage of a defenseless child, how does that make you feel? Angry. Yes. Yes. We do get angry. None of us, I think, would do that. Or would we? Let me read you a quote here. Written in the Second Advent Review and Sabbath Herald, preaching is a small part of the work to be done for the salvation of the souls. So I'm up here just doing the small part. And I don't mind doing the small part. God's Spirit convicts sinners of the truth and places them in the arms of the church. The ministers may do their part, but they can never perform the work that the church should do. God requires the church to care for those who are young in faith and experience. So what is this quote saying? Basically, what this quote is saying is that the Holy Spirit, working through a minister, working through an evangelist, working through a Bible worker or a layperson, the Holy Spirit is the doctor that delivers that baby and puts it in the arms of the church. And the church is here to take care of that spiritual baby. Now the question is it possible that we at times have been guilty of child abuse? Is it possible that we at times have been guilty of abusing the spiritual babies in our church? Let me share two facts about why spiritual babies leave the church. Number one, they seldom leave because of doctrinal issues. Okay, they seldom leave because they don't believe in the Sabbath or the state of the dead or the sanctuary or salvation or the second coming. They seldom leave because of that. They almost always leave because they were mistreated, because someone said something harsh to them. At an orphanage, the babies were dying. And they couldn't figure out why the babies were dying. And they sent a team to investigate why the babies were dying. They did the investigation. And after the investigation, this was their report. the babies were dying because they were being treated just like a number in a crib. The nurses were so busy that they didn't have time to hold them and to talk to them and to share their love with them. Recommendations? Take time with the babies. Pick them up. Talk to them. Sing to them. In other words, share the love with them. Let me ask you another question here. Do you love spiritual babies? Do we love spiritual babies? Or do we sometimes feel like they're maybe a threat to us? Maybe they're troublesome? Maybe they're a nuisance? Or perhaps at times they take a lot of our time? Do we love spiritual babies? Here's some statements that we have heard coming from saints. They don't understand the Bible. Or they are noisy. They are irreverent. They don't dress properly. They make terrible demands on our time. Spiritual babies, they say, make the biggest messes you ever saw in your life. Here's another statement that sometimes we have heard. Spiritual babies, we are using too much money for evangelism on them. And they do lots of yelling and complaining and disrupt our orderly schedules. Let me just share something. And this, out of experience, out of my ministry, that might help us with all of this. Babies, yes, they will disrupt your schedule. Do you remember when you were first married and it was just the two of you? Everything was just right, fine. You used to go here, you used to go over there. Let's go eat, get in the car and go. Everything was right on schedule. You're always on time. Everything was just going fine. And then all of a sudden, baby comes. And all that was all of a sudden gone. Maybe you were eating with your wife and all of a sudden she had to get up because I had to go feed the baby. Or dad gets up and goes change. And then something else happens. And so all this disruption going on and going to church before, well, maybe for some was still an undertaking going to church, just the two of you. But when baby comes along, what happens? That's even a bigger undertaking to get to church on time, get everything ready. And remember when you have your firstborn, you have to take everything, right? You can take a bag, you take this crib, and I remember because we used to do that, and take this, and there I am going to Sabbath, you know, it just looks like we're going camping for a weekend. It was just Sabbath school. Babies will disrupt your schedule. It gets more hectic all the time. And so, if someone would ask me, well, would you have changed your mind of having babies? I would tell you, no. No, I love my children. So what makes the difference between, you know, some parents that, oh, yeah, and those that are, yeah, but it's love. Do you love your children? Yeah, even the children love their children. It's love. If you have your Bibles, please open your Bibles to 1 John 3:14 with me. 1 John 3:14. It says, We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And then it says, he who does not love his brother abides in death. And John 13:35. By this, it says, by this all will know that you are my disciples. If you know all the doctrines of the church. If you could recite the 2300 days. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you love one another. Love must include the spiritual newborn babies. Sometimes the newborn baby in the church will come and sit in your place that you've been sitting for the last 20 years. And so when you walk and you see some newborn sitting there, just smile at them and say, Happy Sabbath, and go find another seat. Love them. Smile at them. They will love you for that. There's something else about babies that I have learned. Babies are messy. They are. I love my kids, but they were messy when they were little. You're trying to feed them, and sometimes you just give them the little spoon, and you say, you feed yourself. And so they go at it. The food, the spaghetti, whatever you're giving them, gets on the walls, it gets on the floor, it gets all over the place except in their mouth. And by the way, have you seen parents, and I include myself, when we were feeding our children, next time watch a parent feeding their children. They do this. It's an automatic, I don't know, it's like, watch them. But babies are messy. They get it all over the place. And then when we go to them and look at them, we say, oh, you're so cute. Your kitchen is a mess, but you're looking at your child and saying, oh, look how funny. Go run, take a picture. My wife is a picture taker. Hold it, hold it. Before you clean him up. It's funny. So what makes the difference? Love makes the difference. Love sees past the mess. Love sees past all the things that they're not going right. Aren't you glad that when the Lord saw you, He looked past the mess? I'm glad He did that. He saw past our mess. And spiritual babies, brothers and sisters, they will make a mess. They are learning. Yes, spiritual babies will use profanity at the church picnic. I've heard it. And they go... And then, I don't know if you heard, you know, about the spiritual baby that, not here, okay? Remember, let me restate that again, that what I am saying is, has happened during my ministry. So don't, but I don't know if you heard of the spiritual baby who slugged the deacon because he did not want to let him come into the sanctuary when they were having prayer. You know, sometimes spiritual babies in business meetings, they don't know, really know, haven't been in the church so long, and they get up and say certain things that all of us makes us, you know, ooh, yeah. Spiritual babies.
They do make big messes.
But you know what? We, the mature ones, need to become experts in sympathy and understanding. All right? We are here for them. When your baby used to make a mess, what would happen if you would talk really rough to them and really nasty? What would they do? Right. They would start crying because they're not accustomed for mom and dad to just come out and be really mean to them. You know what? It's the same thing for spiritual babies. When they make a big mess, they cannot take rough, unaccepting, demeaning treatment. And we have to learn to be more caring, more patient with them. Babies, they make a lot of noise. Remember those quiet evenings with my wife, the candles, nice quiet dinners. And then when baby comes, that's gone. And if you try it, it's fine. You could try it. You could have the candles. You could have everything there. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at each other with those eyes. You're twinkling. You know, they're blinking and just looking at it. And then all of a sudden, the background. I gotta go, honey. Babies are noisy. They make a lot of noise. You know what? I'm gonna say this again. You heard me say this. I don't mind babies in the congregation. And I don't mind babies making noise. Babies making noise in a congregation is a sign of life. It's a sign of life. Plus, I have a nice sound team, and I have the microphone. They can make all the noise they want. You're still going to hear what I'm trying to say. You know, they're babies. What's the matter with them, you might ask? Why are they making all this noise? They are babies. Babies make noise. All babies need time to grow up. Do you agree? Did you give your babies time to grow up? Or did you say when you were trying to teach them to say a word and they couldn't say it, what did you say? Oh, you useless baby. You can't even say that word. You know, I'm going to send you back. You're just saying those meaningless, useless noises. If that's all you're going to do, I'm going to ship you back to that hospital you came from. No, most parents don't say that. You know, as a matter of fact, most parents, they listen, and then they look at each other, and they say, did you hear what he said? He said, Daddy. Or he said, Mommy, or Uncle, or the name of that person. And you and I know very well that that baby didn't say that. But parents have this translation thing going on. Yes, he did. Oh. And, you know, when we didn't have babies, we used to hear the parents say that. And we would look at each other and say, he didn't say that. Not even close, but we weren't going to tell the parents that. But the parents say, oh, that's what he said. Say it again. Good. You almost got it. Say it again. I remember trying to, you know, my wife and I were trying to have a little contest to see what the baby was going to say first, mama or dada. And, you know, secretly I was over here teaching him. I don't know if she secretly tried to teach them to say, mama, mama. But we're trying, you know, we encourage them. Spiritual babies. Spiritual babies need the same encouragement. Just because they don't know everything right out the get-go, we're not going to say, oh, you useless little baby. Go back to from where you came from. Be patient. Be understanding. Be loving. I don't know if you noticed, but babies are not particularly orderly or attentive, especially when the preacher goes long. Babies are not even courteous at times. You know, they do things, they all kinds of things in public. That if we did this, you know, but when a baby burps, oh, how cute. When an adult burps, it's like, you, they didn't even say, excuse me. And babies, like I said, they're disorderly. When I have had many dedications, some are pulling my earpiece, some of them are yelling and crying and all doing all kinds of things. But you know what? We smile at all that, doesn't we? When the kids sing here and they're singing and kicking each other, and what do? Yeah, exactly what you're doing right now, because you remember. We smile at them. What? Yeah, look, Johnny's beating up on Sue there. Well, singing about love. Yeah, we smile at them. Spiritual babies are trying to understand a new culture. Spiritual babies are trying to understand all this stuff about abbreviations, SDA, MPUC, and you know, all the abbreviation, all the lingo, veggie, turkey, all everything that we use. And at times, yeah, they're going to be disruptive. But you know what? We need to understand them. Here's another thing about babies. Babies have special needs. Babies demand constant attention. Babies need to receive that constant attention, because if we don't give them that constant attention later on, they will have trouble emotionally and sometimes even physically. In the same way, spiritual babies demand a lot of our time. Spiritual babies are going to demand that you give them constant attention at times. And what should we do? We must be willing to spend the time with them. Give them your time. Because if we don't, they will not survive. They will not survive. Another thing about babies is babies don't have that very much endurance. Daddy, let's go for a walk. No, I don't want to go for a walk because I know what's going to happen. Daddy, I want to go for a walk. I want to go for a walk. Okay, let's go for a walk. Halfway, Daddy, could you carry me? You're tired and you have two of them. You want to, one wants to hang over here, one on the shoulders. And you know that's what's going to happen. And yet what? You go for the walk, right? Spiritual babies are the same way. When they first begin, they're going to get tired. And when they do, we must be willing to carry them. We must help them. And some might say, but I'm getting tired of carrying them. Well, I think we need to remind ourselves that they are spiritual babies and they have been placed in our care. Notice babies like a bland diet. babies like a simple diet. And as parents, there were certain things that we thought our baby needed to be eating. And when you give that food to the baby, you know what they do? They use their cute little tongues to spit it out. And they spit things out because they don't like those things. The different taste for them. And so they spit it out. So what did you do as a parent? Did you wrestle them down and started feeding them, force feeding him? Some of you laughed like if you remember that that's what you did. But you know, generally we don't do that. Because if you start feeding them that way, you might choke your baby. And spiritual babies are the same way. They like to be eating the milk that they were brought into the church with. Some are not ready to handle what you are chewing on. Some are not ready to handle that. And yet sometimes we get the spiritual babies, invite them over to our homes, and choke them to death. Because we give them a diet that they are not ready for. They probably are still eating spiritual applesauce and you want to give them that hard gluten. They're going to choke. They're going to choke. Many, many well-meaning saints have choked spiritual babies to death. They have killed them. And yet we do not prosecute the spiritual murderers. Babies are expensive. Dateline had a report one time of a mother going in to have a child, 3-day stay, complications, no insurance, at the end, $60,000. Now, this was a few years back. Today, it's probably even more. Babies are expensive. Once you start thinking about it, car seats, strollers, clothes, diaper bags, diapers. And more diapers, checkups, bottles, toys, food. Oh, did I mention diapers? Yeah. They are expensive. But, you know, I never heard parents saying they're not worth it. I haven't heard a parent say that, at least here. Parents say, my baby is worth everything to me. As a matter of fact, I will take a second job if I have to. I will borrow from my relatives, which I don't agree is something that some other sermon. But anyways, I'll borrow from my relatives. I'll sell all my furniture. I'll sell all my nice clothes in order for me to provide for my baby. And you know, it's in the same way. Same thing with spiritual babies. Evangelism is getting expensive. And as a matter of fact, this year, 2010, it's even going to be more expensive because the conference is having problems with budgeting for evangelism, which means, and just let me just tell you, some of you might not know this, but whenever we have had evangelism, the conference would cover 70% of the total cost. 70%. So if we spent $20,000, the conference would cover 70, we would take care of 30. All that is gone. History. Next year, if we want to do evangelism, the maximum they would help us with a congregation of this size, is $4,000. Period. So is evangelism going to get even more expensive? Yes, it is. Spiritual babies are expensive. It's true. But food is also getting expensive, and I don't hear people saying, I'm going to stop eating because food is expensive. Or housing. Housing, you know, sometimes, well, because of the market now, but sometimes housing has been very expensive. And I don't hear people saying, well, I'll just pack my things and go live underneath the bridge. We don't think that way. Spiritual babies are expensive. Why? Because it takes a lot of money to do evangelism. However, question, how much value does God place on one soul? An immense value, because He came down to die for all of us. And if I were to ask you, well, would you be willing to raise your hand and say, Lord, I understand it's expensive, so pass me by, I'll help you. Listen, I am glad God sent His Son to die for me and to die for you. It's expensive, but we are willing to do it. Our job as parents is to take the time to nurture the spiritual children that are here, the spiritual children that the Lord is going to send us. That's going to be our responsibility. We have to do that. Let me tell you a story of two churches that had evangelism, two churches that had the same results. True story. Both churches had about between 30 to 40 new members come into the new church. All right. A year later, they go back and they ask, where are your 30 to 40 members? One church, practically all of them were gone. The other church, mostly all of them were still there. So they started asking questions and seeing what was going on, what had happened. You know what the result was, or what made the difference? The one church knew how to take care of the spiritual babies. They loved them. They took the time with them. They were willing to say, well, you know, babies are messy. Yes, babies do make a lot of noise. Yes, the babies will disrupt schedules. Yes, babies are, you know, they kept on thinking this way, and they loved them in. The other church, you know, babies, oh, they're just disruptive. They're just, again. And so that was the difference between the two churches. One of them loved their spiritual babies. The other one did not do that. So let me just share with you what the worst form of spiritual child abuse is. One of them is neglect. Okay? We neglect them. But the other one is really bad. Poisoning spiritual babies is the worst form of child abuse. And how do we do this? Here's how we do this sometimes. Number one, criticize your pastor. You want to poison a spiritual baby? Criticize your pastor. Two, criticize the members. Three, criticize the world church leadership. Four, criticize the Oregon Conference leaders. A spiritual baby
cannot handle someone criticizing the ones that they love, the one that they have learned to love. See, they had come into this great church. They have learned about the truths. They're on fire for the Lord. They want to go out and preach. They want to go out and teach. They want to go out and share the gospel with others. Then they come and talk with someone that has been in the church for a long time. And this person starts criticizing. And sometimes this poison is so strong that the baby gets sick and it dies. Parents, this is just a side note here. We have seen that one of the main reasons why your children, I said one of the main ones, okay, not all of them, but one of the main things that most children do not remain in the church, that later on in their years they leave, it is because they have seen and heard a lot of criticism within the home. I don't have time to analyze this with you this morning, but it's one of the reasons. Poison, this poison that I'm talking about, comes from the devil himself. The devil wants us to do that. The devil wants us to criticize. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, Proverbs 6:16. And it talks about seven things that God hates. And listen to what it says, 6:16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. One, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Another translation says, one who sows discord among family. It is very poisonous for us, for anyone who likes to criticize. Matthew 18:6, this was our scripture. But whoever offends one of these little ones, Jesus talking here, whoever offends one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck and that they were drowned in the depth of the sea. What is Jesus saying here? Basically what he's saying is that spiritual abuse is a very serious matter in the church. Start welcoming the babies. Start welcoming the babies into our homes. When was the last time you had someone that you did not know come into our home? You know, it's very, and I could understand this, it's more, I don't know if the word is comforting to invite those that we know, because you know them. There's, you know, you know what to talk about. But when you invite someone that you don't know, and if you're not really someone to speak, it's very awkward, because what do you say? What do you ask? So it's easier to invite those within the circle.
What am I saying this morning? Get out of your circle. Invite the spiritual babies. Invite those that you generally don't invite. They like to come into our home. Invite them into your fellowship. Invite them into your gatherings. Invite them. Get close to them. Go places with them. Do things with them. Love them. Because Jesus Christ loved them and loves them. Dads that are here, someone shared with me a quote, and I'm going to end with this. And I think it's very true. So, dads, here it is. What is the greatest gift you could give your children? Time is one of them, yes. But here it is. The greatest gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother. Love your wife. Let the children know that you love your wife. Hug her in front of them. Give her kisses in front of them, your children. Let them know that you love your wife, because in that, your children will see security and love. We're going to sing about love in the home, and love in the home, it's also, we're talking about the love here in the church, in the home where spiritual babies are going to be coming into. Thank you, Pat.
Let's stand as we sing number 652. Love at home. Isn't it good to be home? Amen.
Jesus, make me wholly thine, then there will be love at home. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this afternoon for giving us an opportunity to worship as brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, I pray that as you bring spiritual babies into our midst, that we will love them, that we will be patient with them, that we will try to understand them, and that we will take time with them and help them to grow. Help us to be more patient and loving. Help us to be more loving toward each other. And continue to help us to be ready every day, for we know you're coming soon. Thank you. Be with us now during the rest of the Sabbath day. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.